एंड प्रभु जी, प्रभु जी इज ऑलरेडी ऑनलाइन, सो
यस प्रभु जी, द रिकॉर्डिंग इज स्टार्टेड, यू कैन टेक ओवर द कॉल एंड यू कैन गिव द इंट्रोडक्शन अबाउट प्रभु जी, वृंदावन दास प्रभु जी.
थैंक यू माता जी, हरे कृष्ण. सो टुडे वी हैव हिज ग्रेस वृंदावन प्रभु ऑन अवर कॉल. वृंदावन प्रभु वॉज इंट्रोड्यूस टू कृष्णा कॉन्शियसनेस इन 1974 एंड ही बिकेम फुल टाइम प्रीचर इन 1985. Over a period of 30 years, his devotional services has been in different areas. He has played a different roles as temple president, traveling Sankirtan party leader, and head of the pujari, temple commander, brahmachari training program leader, congressional training program leader, padayatra coordinator, spiritual mentor. He is also author of a very well-known book about Santa Tukaram. This was written first in Marathi and then now translated in English. It is also available through Amazon if someone wants to buy that book. His 7-day Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam discourses are very well known and it has benefited many devotees. It has been spreading the message of Srila Prabhupada and many brahmacharis and families have joined his Krishna consciousness ISKCON movement because of his preaching. He has played full-time brahmachari role in New Vrindavan. He has associated with Belgaum temple in Karnataka for a long time. Currently, he is staying with his family in Pune and he travels globally for preaching and he is a disciple of Shri Radhana Swami Maharaj. And he has been a regular visitor of USA. And once he visits USA, he visits many cities. And we are fortunate to have his association almost every year when he visits US and Charlotte specifically. So thank you, Prabhuji, for joining us today. And please welcome His Grace Vrindavan Prabhu. So Prabhuji, you can take over from now.
हरि बोल, हरे कृष्णा,
हरे कृष्णा प्रभु जी, दंडवत प्रणाम, शिल प्रभुपाद की जय, गुरु महाराज की जय.
थैंक यू प्रभु जी.
यस प्रभु जी, वी कैन हियर यू.
इज इट ऑडियो और वीडियो?
वी कैन ओनली हियर यू प्रभु जी, वी कैन नॉट सी यू राइट नाउ.
ओह ओके, दैट्स व्हाट आई वाज वंडरिंग व्हाट हैपेंड, बिकॉज़ ही टोल्ड मी, ही गिव मी अ जूम थिंग. ओके, that's fine, as long as can you all hear me?
Yes Prabhuji, but before we could see you, can you on your camera?
I think my camera is on.
You just now off Prabhu, when you took the phone, right? It maybe it pressed. Can you try it Prabhu one more time?
Oh, let me see.
Yes, now we can see you Prabhu. Thank you Prabhu.
Oh really, I cannot see here. Okay. Can you hear me now?
Yes Prabhuji, we can hear you and see
you. Okay. Please accept my humble obeisances. So, we'll start from Mangalacharan. Om Adnyantimirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Radati Swapadantikam नमो ओम विष्णु पदाय कृष्ण प्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी नीति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देश तारिणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधार शिवासिदि गौर भक्तवृंद Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Thank you for giving me this opportunity to serve all of you. The verse today we are going to talk about is from 4th canto, the Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 25 and text number 25. So I will read the verse and then translation and read the purport, and we'll try to discuss after that. Sa yaryantaha puragato vishutina samanditaha moham prasada harshamva yati jayatma jodhavam. The translation and purport by His Divine Grace is Sri Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation, sometimes he used to go to his private home with one of his chief servants, the mind, who was named Vishuchina. At that time, illusion, satisfaction, and happiness used to be produced from his wife and children. Purport, according to Vedic conclusion, oneself is situated within the heart. As stated in Vedic language, Hridyam Atma Pratishthitaha, the self is situated within the heart. In the material condition, however, the spirit soul is covered by the material qualities, namely goodness, passion, and darkness. And within the heart, these three qualities react. For instance, when one is in goodness, he feels happiness. When one is in passion, he feels satisfaction through material enjoyment. And when one is in darkness, he feels bewilderment. All these activities are of the mind, and they function on the platform of thinking, feeling, and willing. When the living entity is encircled by wife, children, and home, he acts on the mental plane. Sometimes he is very happy. Sometimes he is very much satisfied, sometimes he is not satisfied, and sometimes he is bewildered. Bewilderment is called moha, illusion. Illusion by society, friendship, and love, the living entity thinks that his so-called society, friendship, and love, nationality, community, etc., will give him protection. He does not know that after death he will be thrown into the hands of a very strong material nature that will force him to accept a certain type of body according to his present work. This body may not even be a human body. Thus, the living entity's feeling of security in this life, in the midst of society, wife, and friendship, is nothing but illusion. All living entities engaged in various material bodies are illusioned by the present activities of material enjoyment. They forget their real business, which is to go back home, back to Godhead. Everyone who is not in Krishna consciousness must be considered to be in illusion. One's so-called feelings of happiness and satisfaction resulting from material things are also illusions. Factually, neither society, friendship, love, nor anything else can save one from the onslaught of the external energy, which is symptomized by birth, death, old age, and disease. To get even one living entity out of the illusory condition is very difficult. Therefore, Lord Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 7, text 14, Devi Yeshi Gunamai Mama Maya Duratyaya Mame Vaye Prapadyante Mayam Etam Darantite. This divine energy of mind, consisting of the three modes of material nature, is difficult to overcome. But those who have surrendered unto me can easily cross beyond it. Therefore, unless one surrenders completely at the lotus feet of Krishna, he cannot get out of the entanglement of the three modes of material nature. Jai Srila Prabhupada. So this is a very enlightening chapter out of many chapters about Prachin Bharishit, the king. Many sends his 10,000 sons under the guidance of Lord Shiva. But he himself is interested in fruity activities, karmakanda. And therefore, according to his inclination, Narad Muni is trying to preach him. Being an expert preacher, we can see Narad Muni, how he is handling the situation of Prachin Bharishit. We have seen Narad Muni preaching to Prahlad Maharaj, how he preached to Dhruva Maharaj, how he preached to Chitraketu, how he preached to Valmiki, and how he preached to Kamsa. So many examples are there in the scripture, how Narad Muni deals with so many different kinds of people. And he is not a prototype preacher. Sometimes preachers become prototype. They only know what is taught and they just try to repeat, although they are repeating properly, but they don't know in front of whom they are talking. So preacher has to be expert, and we can learn that from Narad Muni. How he is dealing with different living entities, just like Prahlad Maharaj. You see, Prahlad Maharaj was in the womb of his mother, Kayadu. And when all the devatas were afraid that the baby in the womb of Kayadu, Hiranyakashipu's wife, Hiranyakashipu is such a terrorist, how his son would be. So they wanted to kill. But Narad Muni said no, because of his vision, he could understand that even though he is the son of a demon, but he is a devotee. So he took Kayadu to his own ashram, and he directly started reciting Srimad Bhagavatam. He didn't wait for anything. And therefore, Prahlad Maharaj, he became a devotee. And he tells his friends that my mother forgot whatever she heard from Narad Muni. So you see, two living entities were listening, one is Prahlad Maharaj, that's also in the womb. So womb is not a very comfortable place to be. Now, if you know, nowadays you can see that in so many ways, how the child is there in the womb, in what is the position. It's not a comfortable position. But because it is Srimad Bhagavatam, Prahlad Maharaj, even before he came into this world, he is enjoying the Srimad Bhagavatam. And you can see how much he learned when he was preaching to his own friends in the school. So Narad Muni was, every day he was talking about Srimad Bhagavatam. But his mother, when he came to Prahlad's mother, when she came to palace again of Hiranyakashipu, she forgot everything, and Prahlad Maharaj remembered, even though she was very heard it as a baby. So that is the influence of Narad Muni. So it is not that when you listen, you apply to your life. So Kayadhu, she was a very chaste lady. She was very faithful to her husband. But unfortunately, she forgot what was there in Srimad Bhagavatam. And again, she got entangled in husband activities. And therefore, she could not achieve the same result as Prahlad Maharaj achieved. So Prahlad Maharaj became he's one of the Bhagavat. So also you can see Dhruva Maharaj. Dhruva Maharaj, his mother told him to go to forest. And Narad Muni appeared there by seeing his sincere desire. And he tested him. He said, please go back. You know, you are such a small kid. You know, this is a forest. There are so many wild animals here. And it's very dangerous to stay here. Please go back. You know, you're too small. Then Dhruva Maharaj, the Dhruva means one who is determined. So he said, no, I am determined. So Narad Muni tested him before giving him mantra. So he didn't give him immediately the mantra. He didn't give him knowledge. He just gave him mantra, Om Namo Bhagavati Vasudevaya. So when he saw, met Valmiki, Valmiki wanted to kill him, but he said, what's the use of killing me? You know, this is a very sinful activity. And how we know how he preached, he sent his Valmiki to go home and see if they want to take a share of your karmas. And then he came back and then he told him to chant Ram, but he couldn't chant. He started Mara, Mara, Mara. So Narad Muni said, even if it is Mara, that's okay, you chant. And ultimately it will become Rama. So that is how he preached to Valmiki. And he came with another one more devotee. He came to Chitraketu's house. And Chitraketu was interested in, because even though he has 10,000 queens, he didn't have a son. So he was very much attached to have a son. But Narad Muni told him, no, it's not a good idea. You know, it will be cause of your suffering. But he said, anyway, I want it. So Narad Muni gave him blessings. And later on, when he came, afterwards, when the son was born, he coming and the son gives realization to Chitraketu. And through son, Narad Muni is preaching. So here you see Prachin Barishet. He is interested in fruit activities. And by understanding, he's not surrender to hear Srimad Bhagavatam or pure devotional service. But he has a willingness to follow some religious principles. So through religious principles, he is trying to bring Prachin Barishet to the real conclusion of philosophy, that is Krishna consciousness. So when Prachin Barishet, he is listening from Narad Muni. Narad Muni is giving one example, and he is giving the example of Puranjan. Now Pura means city or palace. Our body, and Jana means living entity. Now, this story is not only Puranjan narrated to Prachin Barishet. Through this story, through this example, Narad Muni is also trying to teach us some lesson, which he is trying to preach to Prachin Barishet. How we should understand this body, nature of this body, three gunas, the material nature, and how these senses are strong, and all this will come. So he's giving an example. So this Puranjan, because he's interested in fruity activities, why people are interested in fruity activities? Because through fruity activities, you collect some pious credits, and pious credits gives you a nice lifestyle or comfortable lifestyle or enjoyable lifestyle. You can enjoy your senses and you don't think much about suffering. People, you get a lot of some people you can see from their birth to death, they have no problems except for four, at least they think that they have no problems. Everybody has a problem, but one who is in illusion, they think that I have no problems. But say Indraloka, Chandraloka, Siddhaloka, Gandharvaloka, they're all, better situated than human beings. And in human beings also, most of you from India, and you can see the lifestyle or standard of living is way, way, way better in America than what you can find in India. So therefore, once you come to America, nobody wants to go back to India. So why? Because the lifestyle is better. The job situation is better. And you can have what you cannot have it in India. For even though if you work for whole life, you will not be able to have a nice house, nice car, nice roads, nice facilities. Even if you work whole of your life, it is not possible. Because India is not meant for that. India has different purpose. Why people want to come to America? Because there is a lot of sense gratification and easy life compared to, difficult, standing in a locals and travel, drive car, So why people want to be here? Because they have a nice sense enjoyment. So more than that, go to the, even in America, there is a lot of sense enjoyment in whatever cities you are living. But Americans, you know, they are not happy. You know, they want to go to Honolulu, they want to go to Puerto Rico, they want to go to Hawaii, you know, and they want to go to Caribbean islands. So even if they are staying in such a nice place, they are not happy. So because Krishna has created this world in such a way, the grass is always greener on the other side. So this Puranjan, he is traveling like this all over the world. And he is not satisfied to settle anywhere. And then on the south side of Himalaya, he finds a place, and that is Bharatvarsha. And then he comes and sees the beautiful forest and birds and fruits and rivers. And then he comes, he meets one girl in the forest and he gets infatuated and they fall in love with each other. And then he comes to a city called Bhogavati. And the previous verses you have heard that how it works in the left, east side, west side, south side, north side. And as he comes, then now he is entering in his home. And that is what we are reading today from. So how he's entered in home. So sometimes he used to go to his private home. So with one of his chief servants. So he has a chief servant called Mind. And whose name is Visuchina. And we have previously heard that he has one friend who he is traveling with. He's an unknown friend. I particularly don't remember what exact word, Sanskrit word used for that, but it's called unknown friend. That is Paramatma. So he's always with him. But here he is traveling with his servants, whose name is Visuchina. And when you travel with mind, you are not properly exactly situated. Because you are traveling, you know, wherever you are going with your mind. You are not going where you want to go. So mind takes you wherever your senses want to go. So it is very important to understand the position of mind, because Puranjan, Pura in this particular verse is our body and Jana is soul. That means we ourselves. And this body has 9 gates, as also explained in Bhagavad Gita and also in this chapter. So through these 9 gates, all the illusion is entering in the body. And you see, 6 of them are just in your head. You know, 2 eyes, 2 nostrils, 2 ears, and 1 mouth. Just imagine how much is you are gathering in just in one head, you know, just our face. Now, 2, 4, 6, and 7 senses are there. And only 2 holes are down the body. You know? So just imagine how much you are gathering just from one mouth, one face. And as previously, in previous verse, it is explained that 2 blind friends, you know, their legs. So legs go wherever mind takes, you know, legs don't go on its own. So they are blind. Hands are blind, legs are blind. So they go wherever mind takes them. So it is very important, especially when you are in the illusory world, what we are living in now, like a material world. It's so confusing. And so everywhere you go, you get illusioned. And that's why Prabhupada is talking about illusion in this verse. So the Atma, how he gets illusion, it is explained in Srimad Bhagavatam. Jaya sammohito jivo atmanaha trigunatmakam paropi manute anartam tatkritam cha vipatye. So due to the external energy, the living entity, although transcendental, to the three modes of material nature, thinks of himself as material product. We start thinking we are part of this material world, and we want to make everything good here. We want to just like we stay in this world, just like we have come here to stay permanently. And therefore, he has to undergo so many difficulties, so many struggles, hard time, miseries, just to stay in this world. So Krishna has created this world not to settle. Krishna has created this world to make you realize you cannot settle. So there are so many difficulties are in this life, so that you will realize your transcendental position. So as explained in this verse by Srila Prabhupada, when the soul is covered by goodness, passion and darkness. So, soul is Sachidananda, but at present it is covered. So why it is covered? Because of the mind. So therefore Krishna, he gives very nice explanation of how our body acts. So he is explaining, Indriyani Paranyahur, Indriyubhya Paramana, Manasastu Parabuddhir, Buddhiriya Parasastusa. So what that means, beyond these blunt senses. So what we see, when we see each other, or when we see in front of our mirror, or when we see our body, except for your face, you can see all other body. Three hand, legs, stomach, all these things you can see. So what we see, Krishna is calling it as a blunt senses. What is blunt means they are dead. His body is dead. Now, when you see a dead man, you see the same body in front of us. So therefore, the senses are dead. They are not active, they are dead. So beyond these blunt senses, so who is moving this body? So beyond this body, he says, there is mind. So this body is made of earth, water, fire, air and ether. Now you can see in our body, these five elements are there. They're gross elements. Then the next subtle body is there, which is made from mind, intelligence and false ego. So the body, which is dead body, which cannot act on its own, which is jada, means heavy. So is activated by mind. Indriyani Paranyahu is beyond his blunt senses, there is mind. And Indriyubhya Paramana, Manasastu Parabuddhir. So beyond this mind, there is intelligence. And Buddhir Parasastusa, that's beyond Buddhi, that is you yourself. That with the Ahankara, the soul is there. So this is the situation of the point. Body, mind, intelligence, ego and soul. So soul is not differentiated from Ahankara. The reason is because he has forgotten that he is soul. So only three things are considered here: Ahankara, intelligence and mind and body. So the body, he has so many senses, as I explained, two eyes, two ears, nostrils, mouth, and genitals and anus. These are the nine, holes are there. So through these holes, the mind, because it is not, not attracted inside, because it is not controlled by soul, the Ahankara is activating the intelligence according to what you think. And the intelligence is giving mind through the senses to look at the objectives, and mind is giving ideas, thinking, feeling and willing. This is the function of mind. You know, what is intelligence? These are all subtle activities, so subtle you cannot even fathom how subtle this is, how so many things are going on in your own body, how this body acts within. So because soul has forgotten his identity, he has acquired some ahankara. So we have ahankara that I am Purusha, Indian, American, rich, poor, you know, Brahmin, Kshatriya, Maratha, Vaishya, Gujarati, Bengali, Madrasi, so many identities, unlimited identities. And because of these identities are changing every time, and also, you know, even if I have a human body, the first I am a boy, a small kid, then boy, and then I'm child, and become adult, and then body is also changing, situations are changing. So for the soul, you know, it is bewildering. For ego, it is bewildering. Every time he has to think so many things, you know, at a time in a life. Future, past, present. So the soul, if you are not a person who is situated on soul platform, you will be completely illusioned. So what happens, as soon as a soul comes into this material, immediately he is attacked, he is controlled by three modes of material nature. Sattva, Raja and Tama. That's what it is said here. Atmanam, Trigunatmakam. So Trigunatmakam, these are the three gunas, they completely capture you. And that's what Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita. Prakriti Kriyamanani Gune Karmani Sarvasha. So Prakriti, which is made of these three gunas, is controlling. And we are thinking, I am independent. Therefore, Krishna says, Ahankar Vimudhatma Karta Aham Iti Manyate. So Krishna says, people, the Ahankar Vimudhatma. So the soul, which is bewildered, foolishly thinks that he is the doer. But actually, who is getting things done? Is getting these three gunas are getting things done from everybody. So the intelligence, the ahankara is covered by three modes. So in whatever mode we are, our intelligence acts. If you are in the mode of ignorance, or tamasa, our mind, intelligence and body acts in ignorance. If our ego is situated in passion or rajas, then our intelligence, mind and body acts in rajas. And if your mind is situated in sattva guna, mode of goodness, our mind, body and intelligence acts in sattva guna. And these things are changing. You know, you're not always in sattva guna, you're not always in tamo guna, you're not always in raja guna. You know, sometimes you are in raja guna, sometimes in tamo guna, sometimes in sattva guna. So this is all changing. And also, it is outside also, mornings are sattva guna, days are raja guna, evening is tamo guna. So you are clashing inside raja guna, are also clashing with outside raja guna, inside tamo guna, outside raja guna. So it's very difficult when you are in tamo guna, morning is sattva guna, so there is a clash. If you are in raja guna and you know, you are in the night, that's the mode of ignorance. So many things are clashing. So it is impossible to be happy in this material world. So beyond happiness, there is called ananda. So sometimes because we have no experience of ananda, the word happy, sukha, is used for ananda because we have no experience. So mode of goodness, there is some kind of happiness is there. And in the Rajasa, you know, there is some kind of material enjoyment is there, satisfaction is there. But in darkness, the soul is always bewildered. That's what Prabhupada is explaining. So this mind is the controller of everything. happening in our life. So therefore, Krishna explains that Uddharet Atmana Atmanam, Atmanam Na Avasadayet. Atmaiva Yatmano Bandhu, Atmaiva Vipuratmana. Said, Uddharet Atmana Atmanam. One should try to elevate his mind. Na Atmanam Avasadayet. Means we should not try to allow our mind to degrade. We are already degraded, but we should not allow him, allow that mind to degrade more. We should allow mind to uddhar. Uddhar karna chahiye. So we have to upgrade our mind. You know, why Krishna says Atmaiva Yatmano Bandhu? He says, mind, if you control him, is your best friend. And Atmaiva Ripuratmanaha, if you don't control, mind itself is your worst enemy. We think the enemy is outside. No, enemy is within our heart. That's mind. So, therefore, Krishna is explaining that Bandhuratman Manantasya Yenatmaivatmana Jitaha. So, one who has conquered the mind, then if you make your mind a good friend, then only he will guide you properly. But if you just let him do whatever he wants, his worst enemy. So, the mind is looking through eyes, smelling through nose, tasting through tongue, hearing through ears, and getting feeling of touching from hands, legs, or body. So if the mind is not introspective, so why Krishna is giving this explanation of what body eats and how the body is situated and who is powerful? Because ordinary people don't know what is body. They just do whatever body wants, you know. And what they are taught, do whatever your mind thinks, you know. Aapko man mein jo aata hai wo karo. See how dangerous. So things outside not bad. Depends upon how you use them. Prabhupada gives an example of a knife. You know, knife, if it goes in the hands of a thief, he will kill somebody. But if it goes in the hands of a doctor, he will use it for surgery. If it goes in the hands of, you know, woman, she'll use it for cutting vegetables or fruits. You know? So the knife is not bad. It depends upon how you use it. So the material world is not bad. It depends upon how you look into it, how you look at it. So even the worst things happening in your life, birth, old age, this is end, death, you will see it in a better perspective if you have a knowledge of the soul. Otherwise, in this material world, you'll see it as a misery and why this is happening to me. But if you are realized, you will have an opportunity to understand what is birth, old age, this is end, death, why we have to face that. So, what makes us think the illusion? You know, Prabhupada is thinking about mind. He's telling that thinking, feeling, and willing. So how this mind, you know, intelligent, ahankara tells intelligence, say, you are a man or woman. Then immediately according to that, your intelligence starts working and mind goes on acquiring the things, you know, in front of your eyes or anything. And tries to satisfy the eyes, satisfy ears, satisfy smell, satisfy tongue, satisfy your senses, your body. But because this is external and it is always changing, bewildered. Mind is always bewildered. So therefore, unless the mind, as Krishna is explaining here, unless the mind is engaged in Krishna's service, there is no way you can stop this mind. So we'll come to that later. So when this living entity is now here, you see, Puranjana has interned with his wife and children. So when he thinks that he is somebody, man or woman, then he becomes husband or wife, and when husband and wife are there, then the children are there. And because you're grihastha, you have to go out and earn, so you mix with society. And you're born in particular country, or you're born in particular caste, race, or whatever, you become attached to that thing, and you get illusion. And as it is said in this, you go out the reaction of karma, and then you get so many problems. So therefore, Prabhupada is explaining here the illusion, the moha. So the soul is bewildered. So therefore, just recently, I'm giving this example. We visited one of our relatives, and she was a nurse. And she was telling one story of a man who came to a hospital because of corona. And she's not a devotee. She's like a normal American girl, a nurse. And the man she was treating was about to go into coma state. And they were trying to move him on a ventilator. And he was like half conscious, and they told him that now we are going to take you to the ventilator. And he was so started shaking, tears came from his eyes, couldn't speak properly. And he asked the nurse, "Am I going to die?" And she couldn't say anything. She looked at the doctor. Now, just to encourage him, he said, "No, we are trying to put you on the ventilator. But people are so panicked by corona nowadays in all over the world. Even if they get this corona, they are so afraid that they are going to die. Even though 50% are not dying, still people think." But he was like, so he's a young man, about 40 years or something. So as he heard that he's going on ventilator, immediately he started thinking, "Oh my God, now I'm not going to see my wife, my son, and I'm going to lose all my friends, and I'm going to die." And he asked another question. He said, "What I am supposed to do when I'm dying?" Now just imagine, this question also asked by Parikshit Maharaj when he was cursed that he is going to die. Now this person is in hospital. He came to know that he is going to die. And he is asking question, "What I am supposed to die?" So everybody should ask this question: what happens at the time of death? Why I am dying? This person is bewildered. And he was crying, shaking, and he wanted to see his family. But now you might have heard so many cases, they don't even allow you to be with your wife or your son. Nobody is helping, no friends, no money, nothing is helping. People are away. So many dead bodies, if you see in Brazil, Italy, even in America, they buried because there are no relatives are coming to take their bodies too, because corona is there. So much afraid. So where does that all love, care gone? One insignificant bug is bugging the whole world, which you cannot see. This is Krishna, just an insignificant energy of one small bug. So you cannot be with your wife, you cannot be with your children, you cannot be with your family, no mother, no father, no job, no friendship, nothing. Once this corona gets into your body and once you go on ventilator. And just imagine, if you don't know what is the purpose of life, what you are supposed to do at the time of death, just understand, nobody is going to help you. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj is praying to Narasingadev, said, when the child is dying, what mother and father can do? When somebody is dying, what doctor can do? He cannot do anything. So this is the condition of this soul in this material world. We are so helpless. So that is why here Prabhupada is explaining, these are all illusions. Nobody can help you at the time of death. Nobody. Even if you have money, your family, your friends, your relatives, your position, your strength, your intelligence, everything goes blank when you are about to die. The only person who can help is friend sitting inside with you, who we call a Jivalaga. You know, Surudam Sarvabhutana. Surudam means he is afraid of all the living entities who is traveling with us. Only he can help us from within. So it's a very serious matter, Krishna consciousness. Now we are living, you know, we are in Rajaguna, Tamo, you know, Satvaguna, we are happy, satisfied. So we don't think about this thing. So Krishna consciousness is cultivating the relationship with that friend who is sitting in your heart. And that mind is not allowing us to do that. Because mind, once he knows that if he surrenders to Krishna, you don't have any independence. And we don't want to lose our independence. Therefore, we are struggling to become independent. Everybody wants to become independent in this world. Everybody. Everybody wants to become free from bondage. You know, people are in lockdown. Nobody wants to be in lockdown. But you have to understand, even if you come out of lockdown, still we are locked down. You know, or we are locked down into our body. And therefore, we want to be free, but we are locked down in this body. And as long as we have this body, suffering is destined. Suffering is there. So Krishna consciousness helps us to train this mind. So therefore, intelligent person should not listen to his mind. You know, even though the whole education system teaches us, just do what your mind says. You know? So if your mind is a friend, if you have made in a good friend, then you can listen. But if your mind is an enemy, which in most cases is dragging all the soul back into this material world. And therefore, Parikshit Maharaj asked this question, what is my duty when I am about to die? In particular, in his case, and in general, you know, what is the duty of a person who is about to die? And he did not think anything at that time when he was cursed by Shrungi, the son of a Brahmana. What he was thinking, he immediately gave up. He didn't go home. He didn't immediately give up. Atmajaya sutagara, pashu davina bandushu, rajyecha avikale nityam, virudham mamata chuhum. Said, what did he give? Atma, that is means his wife. You know how it is difficult. Atmaja means his atma, first he didn't think about his body, his wife. Suta, his children. Agara, that means his palace. And Dravina, his money, a treasury house. Bandushu, friends. And animals, you know, pashus, he did not think anything about it. I was just thinking, if that person was Krishna conscious, he would have thought about Parikshit Maharaj. And he would have asked the same question without being attached to his body, to his wife, to his sons, to his treasury, his money, his prestige. So wow, Parikshit Maharaj was so detached. Just imagine, just a second ago, he was a king of the whole world. He had wife, he had everything. You can imagine. Within 1 second, when he came to know that he's about to die. Now, what we will do in this case, if someone comes to know what you're about to die, he will be thinking about all these things. Oh, I had all these things. I collected all of my life, all these things. Now I have to leave. And my wife is not close to me. At least he was the one who's in Corona Gold. If you're admitted, wife is not there, children are not there, mothers are not there. And they're trying to see through windows from another building and all these things. People are trying to devise so many things, but they don't understand. They cannot help you. The only person can help is your real friend. It's Jiva Laga. No, Tukaram Maharaj, he said, Tukamane Majha Jivita Jiva Laga. So who is the best friend? Jiva Laga, in Marathi and Hindi, you will understand this word. Jiva means soul. Laga means one who is close. So who is a Jiva Laga? Everybody uses this word. Oh, he is my Jiva Laga. Who is a Jiva Laga? So this is called for Paramatma, Jiva Laga. So he is a dear friend, Jiva Laga. Jiva ke lagat jo hai, jiva cha lagat jo hai. One who is close to your soul, who is close to your soul, not even body, not your mind, what to speak of any other things. Only your friend is there, and that is Krishna. So therefore, how could Parikshit Maharaj in 1 second, he could turn his mind, which was involved in all these things, his wife, his friends, his children, his animals, his kingdom, relatives, friends, and kingship. Just imagine such a big position. Within 1 second, he turns around and he goes to Ganga, where he finds Sukadeva Goswami. How that is happened? Because Bhagavatam explains, Virudha Mamata Juhau. Because he has developed love for Krishna within his heart. And therefore, he immediately went to hear about Krishna because he knows the only situation when you are about to die is to think about Krishna. And best way to think about Krishna is chanting his name. And when you are about to die, it is not possible. You can think that you'll be able to chant. When we are in this body, we are not chanting properly. What to speak of when you have all the pain? Now, just before I came to US in around December, one of my friends, Vishnulok Prabhu, he's a devotee also, he was my childhood friend, and then he became a devotee. And then he printed my Tukaram book also. He was just about 54 or something, and he was... he was about to die, and he was saying that very last thing he said before he went into coma, he said, I am not able to chant, but I am trying to think about all the deities. So I was reading this, it is very difficult to chant at the time of death, but I heard it first time from a person who is about to die in some hours, that I am not able to chant. So just imagine, we have to think about Krishna, and we have to be with Krishna at the time of death. Our wife, our children, our money, nothing is going to help, Putra Parijana, Miteki Chache Parati Chire. What's that saying, So this everything we have collected throughout for life is not going to help us. So we have to train this mind. Train this mind. And therefore mantra. So this mind always distracts. Always. That's the duty of your mind, to distract you from Krishna. To distract you from the understanding that you are not this body, you are a spirit soul. So therefore, a sadhana is given to us, sadhaka. Yukta hara viharasya, yukta chastasya karmasu. So we have to regulate ourselves. The most important thing we have to regulate is our mind. Because as Krishna is saying, and mind is the cause of our suffering, mind is the cause of our moksha, becoming free. So mantra. So this mantra in Ramayana, there is a mantra. It is same, it sounds the same, What is the duty of a mantra? Mantra is like a mind sitting in our body. So mantra is telling Dasharatha to kick out Ram from our heart. So similarly, this mantra and the mind sitting in our heart is saying, no, we don't want Krishna. If Krishna comes, you will not be able to enjoy. So kick Krishna out. Keep him out. Keep him out. Keep him out. Even though, devotees, we have to do this thing. Oh, we can do later. We can do later. Chanting, we can do later. Reading, we can do later. Service, we can do later. We have a whole life to do that. Now this is important. Now this is important. So that is mind. So its duty is to keep us away from Krishna. So when we get trapped by this mind, immediately our senses are become active and they drag us. Dhyayate Vishayan Pumsa. So where it starts from dhyayate, from thinking. From thinking. So if you are not thinking of Krishna, you are thinking of you are thinking of enjoying the senses. So dhyayate, every moment we have to think about Krishna. You have to practice. And therefore, our mind, the japa, when we do, we have to control our mind. You cannot do anything else and do japa. I see people in America, they drive, they chant, they're walking around, they chant. They're not focusing on chanting. Each word, actually chanting is not what you say by your mouth. 16 rounds you say by your mouth. Chanting is, have you heard those 16 rounds? That is chanting. What you hear is chanting. What you speak is not chanting. It's like a machine. Nowadays you can get Prabhupada chanting machines. Your mind is, body is moving, but your mind is wandering all over the world. So how many you listened, that is most important. And unless your mind is listening, if you cannot practice your mind listening to this Hare Krishna mantra, then the whole day, if you cannot control your mind, the whole day the mind is dragging you here and there, you cannot control, you cannot put that mind in Krishna. So this, it's a practice, whole life, we have to learn to practice, make this mind friend, means engage him in Krishna's service, that's making, So we hear the life of Haridas Thakur. Haridas Thakur was sitting in a cave and Ramchandra Khan sent a prostitute to defame him. So this is Haridas Thakur. She came, said, oh, I want to enjoy you. She was trying to allure Haridas Thakur's mind. So Haridas Thakur said, okay, I have taken a vow to chant 300,000 names of Krishna. When I am done, I will fulfill your desire. Till then you can sit, And he will chant the whole. And then in the night he said, oh, I'm sorry, today is gone. And then she said, but you come tomorrow, I'll fulfill your desire. So she is convinced, yes, today he promised me, tomorrow you come and we will enjoy. And she told Ramchandra Khan and they devised so many people around to catch Haridas Thakur if he's doing anything. So next day, his prostitute goes again and she tells Haridas that, you told me yesterday you come and I'm here. I said, oh, thank you. I will definitely fulfill your desire, but please, I have to chant my 300,000 names. So be seated. So again, the second day was like that. Haridas Thakur was completely immersed in chanting. Even though this prostitute, she was trying to allure with so many bodily features and movements. But Haridas was so much, his mind is so controlled. He was so completely absorbed in the chanting of the holy name. He couldn't care, for her beauty or anything. So second day is gone. She said, okay, again, same thing. The third day she came and because of pure chanting of Hare Krishna, just by listening, prostitute was not chanting, but she was listening. So what was the fact? Her mouth was not moving, but ears were active. And therefore, people think, how she got purified just by sitting 3 days with Haridas Thakur, because 3 days She heard, even though she may not have chanted. So hearing is important. Not what you speak. She heard and she became so purified. She surrendered to Haridas Thakur and she told that, I have actually come. It was a plan of Ramchandra Khan to destroy your fame. And what Haridas Thakur said, I know that. I would have left this place in the same day. But I wanted to give you this wonderful Krishna consciousness. I stayed back. And now you stay here, I will go, and you chant Hare Krishna. So the mind is like a prostitute, you know. It will allure, show so many interesting things in our life. Hey, you do this, you do that, you do this, you do that. Always is there. And mind, and even as a devotee say, okay, wow, that's nice. You know, we should do this, we should do that, we should do that. I know I have to chant, I know I have to chant, I know I have to read, I know I have to serve. You know, I know all these things. I can do that later. And that later never becomes, or even if it is later, we cannot hear. So here, we have to learn from Haridas Thakur. Our mind is like a prostitute. So who is a prostitute? Chanakya Pandit has made a definition of chaste and prostitute. Chaste lady, her body, mind, and her body, mind and thoughts is dedicated to one person. She is a chaste. And the prostitute, she is sleeping with somebody, thinks about somebody, and she belongs to somebody. So body is with one person, she thinks about another person, and the mind is with some other person. So that's the prostitute. Our mind is like a prostitute, is not chaste. So, very difficult to make this mind who is like a prostitute thing. Even though it's with you, but it's not with you. Thinking about something else, immediately after one plan, after another plan, after another plan, after another plan. Mind has so many plans to make you happy, but none of those plans can make us happy. We realize that, like that person, what I am supposed to do when I am dying. So, therefore, saintly person thinks about death every day. Like Parikshit Maharaj. In 1 second, he changed his mind from all these things. So even though we are, you know, we are all grihasthas, most of us, and we are, you know, in this material world doing so many things. So how am I become to attracted to Krishna, Virudhama Matas? Oh, how that will happen? So mind. So we have to teach this mind at least when you are chanting. And then that mind will help you throughout the day. If your chanting is like, you know, prostitute, then mind will just, will not. If you are not listening, then we are just mechanically doing things and we'll be entangled with wife, husband, money, children. Of course, we have to do all these things, you know. So, if you grosta, if you do that, you know, that's, it's more difficult to be grosta and be Krishna conscious. You know, Prabhupada admitted that, yes, it is very difficult to have. If you don't have anything, you don't have to worry about all these things. You are just with Krishna and chanting Krishna and preaching Krishna. And you know, brahmacharis and sannyasis are fortunate to do that. But that more difficult is being a grosta and be a Krishna conscious. So, therefore, this sadhana Prabhupada has given us, you know, he has given us this opportunity. So we should take advantage and train our mind in proper Krishna consciousness so that we will not be bewildered, that unfortunate man who don't know the aim of life, he don't know what to do at the time of death. So this mind is between mana eva manushanam karanam bandha moksha, it is said in the Vedas. This mind is the cause of freedom and mind is the cause of bondage. So we are in this world because of mind. We can become free because of mind. Even the Avanti Brahmana, he says, not your karma, not your demigods, not your relatives, not your prestige, nothing is stopping you from becoming free. Only mana eva, this mind is the only cause. So let us offer obeisances to this mind and tell him that please be seated next to us and listen what I say. I am not going to listen to you. And that is only possible, as Prabhupada explains in the last part of the purport, it is difficult even to become one man to this position. Daiviyeshukunamai mamma maya turatya. Krishna's maya is so strong. But we are fortunate by Prabhupada's mercy. He has given us what? He has given us the path of, how to become free. Mamevaya prapadyante maya mitam tanantite. Maya is difficult because she's as strong as Krishna. Not as strong, but as strong as Krishna. So unless you surrender to superior to Maya, that is Krishna, Maya prapadyante maya mitam tarantite. The only one who is surrendered, Prabhupada says, only one who is completely surrendered. So what is the process of surrender? First, listening. Sravanam. Navavida bhakti begins with sravanam. That is most important. When you are chanting, again, underline this word. Hearing 16 rounds is more important than chanting with our mouth. So let us try by the mercy of Prabhupada or Guru Maharaj and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nityananda Prabhu, who is so merciful, who has given us this opportunity. And we should not be like that man, what I am supposed to do when I am about to die. We know what I am supposed to do, but that's not going to come in 1 second like Parikshit Maharaj, unless Viruda Mamata Joho, he has developed a deep love for Krishna in his heart in Parikshit Maharaj. So that is why we are practicing. So I'll stop here. I'm not able to see, I don't know, I'm not conversant with this technology. I'm not able to see anybody of you. But I'll stop here and now if you have any questions or any comments, welcome. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji.
Hare Bol.
Dandavat, Prabhuji, thank you very much. Very nice class. I like that prostitute hearing one. I'm trying to implement some things in my whatever I hear. And it was just what I wanted to hear today. Thank you very, very much. It was very nice class.
Hare Krishna, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. I don't know what time I'm supposed to end, but I thought 8:30 is the proper time. So if you have no more questions, thank you so much.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, I'm Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Guru Maharaj ki jai. Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Very, very beautiful class. We have been hearing from last few days about this allegorical story. So it says the mind has given the name is Visuchina. So why this the specific name is there?
Oh, let me see. The Prabhupada is not mentioning why it's called Visuchena. I don't know. Visuchena here, what is it? Visuchena means by the mind. Prabhupada explains by the mind. I don't know why it is called Visuchena. Why his name is Visuchena. Prabhupada's right. Translation is by the mind. I'm not sure.
And second thing is, it says it's like a cheap servant.
Yes.
So instead of becoming his mind should be our servant. And
yes.
Cheap servant, and instead of that we are becoming servant of the mind. That's the reality. So
yes, that was the whole half of the class was about how is a friend and how is an enemy. So yes. even though he is servant, we have given up everything to him. That's the problem.
Yes, Prabhuji. Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Thank you. Great. I like that example, that dying person. We have to go through that situation one day. So thank you very much, Prabhuji.
Yes. Sorry, I am not able to serve you, Mataji, this year.
Yeah, Prabhuji, we are also feeling...
But now, we can, I don't know, I'm stuck here in America. I'm conditioned soul already, but I'm confined by corona. We can have more chances. I don't mind. We are in every time.
We will love to have your association, Prabhuji. Thank you so much.
Hare Krishna.
Prabhu, this is Naveen Krishnadas from Columbus.
Yes, Naveen. Sorry, I could not have your association too.
Hare Prabhu. Thank you very much. I just came in the last minute because Brajbhakti was hearing. I was chanting. I didn't know that. But I just want to say thank you very much. I'm so happy to see you.
Hare. I cannot see you, but I know you. So I can see you from my mind.
I can see you. Prabhu, do you have any contact number? I can contact you separately.
I don't have anything around me. This, my phone is from India. And this works on WhatsApp. So somehow or other, if you know the number of this phone, you can contact me on WhatsApp.
Okay, I have to get the number. Yeah, I'll get the number, Prabhu. Because we will try to schedule something of Columbus Bhagavatam class, a Sunday feast, if you are available.
Yeah, that I'm sure.
Yeah, Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, if you are in the Bhakti Sangha WhatsApp group, we can help you.
Thank you. Brajabhakti is my one.
I am there, Mataji, in the WhatsApp group, Bhakti Sangha WhatsApp group, I am there, Brajabhakti.
Okay, yeah, give this. Yeah, whatever number I have called you on, that's my Indian number, but it works as a, because we have, wherever I'm staying, it works on the Wi-Fi.
Thank you, Prabhu. We'll get the number, I'll get in touch with you.
Sure. First, you message me. Okay.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Dandavat Pranam. This is Vivek here. Thank you so much.
Hey, Prabhu, I'm your servant. I hope I served you properly.
No, Prabhuji. Prabhuji, this is a really good class today you gave. Really, at least awakened me. So, Prabhuji, I have a question. So, finally, you actually gave a hint of instructing our mind, especially during japa. So, can you give us some practical tips of how to control our mind or instruct our mind before even starting japa? Is there any practical suggestions that you can share with us?
That's in itself is a long topic, but Prabhupada has made it very simple. There are so many, lectures and everything. Prabhupada made it very simple. First thing is, prepare yourself from the day before. You have to sleep early, to get up early, so that you will not be able to sleep. And when you chant, try to sit in one place, straight, erect, and because when your physical body is erect, your head is up, not down, your body is in one, line. So that helps you for chanting. If you are falling asleep, you will come to know. And each word, try to speak and listen. That's the most important. So if you are sitting, that is possible, because if you are walking, your mind goes here, your mind goes there, looking here, looking there. Even if it is, things are there, around you, do things, do that. Completely forget everything else. Just chanting is for chanting, nothing else. Because I see whenever people, when they drive, they chant. When they walk in home, they chant. When they are doing something, they chant. But nobody, you have to sit in one place and chant all the 16 rounds. Focus. It's the struggle. And you will see, you will not be able to chant even the whole one mala if you are practicing. One mala you will not be able to hear at one time. Practice it. So just imagine we have to chant 16 rounds just listening, hearing. So that will only, Abhyasenutu Kanteya, Krishna says, that it will come only by practice. It is not going to happen in one day. So at least chant one round, try to listen, forget about everything, phone, wife, husband, fan, everything, job, everything in your mind. Make your mind completely empty and try to sit in one place and chant at least one round. If one mantra you can chant, try to go for the next one. Forget about whatever you have done before. Even if that you cannot hear, that's fine. Go for the next one. Don't lament. Go for the next one. At least try to chant one round without mind diverting anywhere else. So like that, practice two rounds, practice three rounds, practice four rounds, like that. So it will come eventually. It's not going to come in one day. Okay. And because of that, first you have to follow strict four principles. Otherwise, that will come in your mind. Yeah. You have to do it every day in the morning because mind is fresh. Not so many thoughts are there. If you start in the evening after you come from office, impossible. All the thoughts will be there of everything. So before you start, It's like, you know, when you go to a war, you don't sharpen your, you know, tools or your sword after you come from the war. Before you go to the war, you have to sharpen that. So therefore, mind we have to sharpen before we start doing anything in this world, because whatever you do is like a war, you know, fight between your mind and the things and everything. It's a war going on within your mind. So your mind has to be sharpened, and that's only possible before you start doing everything. And chanting is the first. So best time is the morning, nobody disturbs. So get up early in the morning, focus on your rounds, each one word at a time. That's the only logic behind it. Practice, practice, practice. Hare Bol. Hare Krishna. I don't know anything beyond that. I'm trying to do this.
Thank you very much.
Hare Krishna.
Yeah, Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. I have one more question. Like when Bhishma Pitamaha, he left his body. So it says in first canto of Bhagavatam, one should have the glorious state like Bhishma.
Yes. Bhishma.
What is, like, can you explain a little bit?
See, Bhishma, he had a boon that he will die only when he desires. Otherwise, you know, he will not die. So Arjuna has put it in such a condition that he had arrows in his body. It is said that you cannot put one finger between the two arrows. So many arrows were there in his body. So if you see physically, he might should have dead when he was pierced with only one arrow. So he has so many arrows in his body, and he is lying on the arrows. He is not dying. So what he is thinking, he is waiting for Krishna to come in front of him. And therefore, when Krishna brings all the Pandava, especially Yudhishthir, to see the glorious death of Bhishma. Now, even though death means pain, so just imagine when you cut vegetable, even if it cuts a little bit, how much it pains. You know, when you do sewing, one pin, how much it hurts. Just imagine thousands of arrows in one body, how much suffering is there. But he is not suffering. The reason? Because he is completely absorbed in the thoughts of Krishna. So all the, it is said that he was there for like that for a month. And some people say 2 months. So all those time he would have left. But he wanted to show how Ante Narayana Smriti, you know, at the time of death. So he was going through all these things, but because he was thinking about Krishna. He was thinking how Krishna is kind, even though Bhishma was he was fighting for Kauravas, not fighting for Pandavas. So Bhishma was thinking how glorious Krishna is and all these things. And Krishna, Yudhishthira is asking question about how to rule the kingdom to Krishna, but Krishna said, Bhishma is the best person. But actually Krishna wanted to bring Pandavas to show how Bhishma is such a devotee that he is waiting for Krishna to come so that he can see Krishna and live his body. So that is how we have to learn from Krishna how to live. We should be thinking, just like I was telling you, my friend Vishnulok Prabhu from Belgaum, you know, he said, I cannot chant. You know, he admitted, it is so much pain, I cannot chant, but I'm trying to think about all the yatras he did, about all the temples he went, you know, and the devotees were chanting around him. So Krishna will make that arrangement. So because it's internal pain, it is very difficult to think about Krishna. So unless you practice that, it is not possible. And that is what we learn from Bhishmadev. And same thing, Haridas Thakur, you know, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is glorifying Haridas Thakur. You know, everybody is remembering Bhishma because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left thinking Sri Krishna Chaitanya by seeing his beautiful face. Similarly, Bhishma, you know, he left by seeing Krishna right in front of him. So, how Krishna is going to come right in front of us? You know, he's coming with many, many ways he can come. He is coming as a time, He's coming as a death. He's coming as a holy name. He's coming as a book, Bhagavatam. He's coming as a devotee. So many forms he's coming. No? Krishna says, I will come mrutyu sarvarashchasmi. I will come as a death. So, for everybody is a death, for devotee will be Krishna. So that depends upon how we have cultivated that consciousness throughout our life. And that's what's going to come to help us at the time of death. So that we'll learn from Bhishma. Bhishma, even though he was with Kauravas, but still, whole of his life, he was in Krishna consciousness. So Bhishma's life relates some similarly to people, those who are staying in this material world. No, Bhishma stayed with the demons. We all stay with the demons. You know, wherever you go to work or anywhere, they are not friends. They're all tried to criticize you or tried their sense enjoyment. So Bhishma was like that. He has to stay with all the demons, you know. But his consciousness, all the time he was thinking about Pandavas and Krishna, even though he was staying with Kauravas. So Bhishma's life is like that. Our life is also like that. We are not staying with any, you know, not always in the temple or in the Bhagavatam, in the chanting. We are always, most of the time, we are in the association of demons when you are working in our office, going to the shopping, do this, do that, outside work, you know. That is also related to our life too. Bhishma is like, you know, our life is like, we have to stay with Kauravas, but think about Pandavas and Krishnas. So that also another lesson we can learn from Bhishma. And he did that, you know, he didn't have a good association. So in spite of not having good association through whole of life, he thought of how to serve the devotees and think about Krishna. And therefore, he was able, you know, he utilized his boon to leave the body thinking about Krishna. So the whole, not only he was, he's leaving this body, even within this body when he was in this world, that is also very instructive, very inspiring to understand. Okay, thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much, Prabhuji. Very nice explanation. So, Prabhuji, like you said, Bhishmadev was waiting for Krishna to come. Also, it says, Prabhuji, that he is waiting to, like a Dakshinayan was there and Uttarayan should start. So,
see, Mahabharata is meant for many people. It's also meant for Karmakandis and everything and everybody. That is the external reason. He was waiting for Makar Sankranti, the sun to come to, you know, Dakshinayan, you know. These are all external things. He was not waiting for that. He was waiting for Krishna. Devotional things, he's waiting for Krishna. For karma kandis and everything, you know. So, that is an external reason. Okay?
Yeah.
Bhagavatam says he was waiting for Krishna.
Okay. Thank you.
Also, it is there for Dakshinayana because Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, one who leaks his body at that time, he goes to the heavenly planets. He doesn't say goes back to God. Okay.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, Dandavat Pranam. Thank you for all the question and answer and the beautiful class, Prabhu. Prabhuji, in the class, you said we should make friends with mind. But we hear both the sides. Somebody like Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur had mentioned that we should beat our mind with shoes and sandals and broom in the morning and night. So which one, Prabhuji, because it often confuses, and during the japa, what do we exactly say
to the mind? Yes, don't get confused. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati is teaching you how to make him friend with broom and shoes, you know. That's how you make him friend, you know. When he tries to tell you something else, hey, shut up. Slap him. Like I told you, the Haridas Thakur, make your mind wait. You know, let me do this thing, then I will look at you. And you have no time, then mind will understand, oh, like the prostitute. I have to surrender. I have to become his servant. You know, as he explained in this verse, the servant. So then he'll become your friend. Okay, but to make him friend, you have to use your broom and your shoes.
Yes, Prabhuji. Thank you. Dhanavad.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. This is Kush from Cincinnati. Dhanavad Pranam, Prabhu. Thank you for a wonderful lecture, Prabhu.
You never came to India.
Yeah, Prabhu.
I was waiting for you.
You know, all this corona and everything, you know.
Okay, no problem.
Yeah. So, Prabhu, I just wanted to check, like, you know, we do miss your association this year in Cincinnati. So, I hope we will, you know, meet soon. So, hopefully. just wanted to check, Prabhu, if I come close to Pennsylvania, is it possibility that you want to drive, accompany me to Cincinnati?
I don't know. We'll see when you come.
Okay, sure.
If you have this number, you can keep me WhatsApp. This is Indian phone.
Mm-hmm.
So it works yes, WhatsApp. Sure. Okay.
Sure, Prabhu, I will get in touch with you. Hare Krishna. Thank you.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu.
Hello.
I really enjoyed hearing you today. First time.
Hare Krishna.
Yeah, just to go back to Japa, when we are hearing our Japa, what is your opinion about looking Krishna conscious pictures simultaneously?
If that can help you to listen to mantra, that's okay.
Okay, so then therefore, if we are looking at the pictures, whether it's, you know, deity picture or Srila Prabhupada pictures, if we are looking at the pictures and appreciating, how beautiful the pictures are or how much we...
Yeah, you know what happens? That's the beginning of a trick of mind, you know. First, it will take you how beautiful the picture is, and slowly the mind will take you out. You know, you can practice that and tell me how... You will not even know how beautiful the deities of Radha Shyam Sundara are. In the beginning, you know, how beautiful this, beautiful that. It is good if you are thinking like that, but you will never understand how the man will trick you and take you somewhere else.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That's a danger. So if you are looking, simultaneously listen. Don't think about what Krishna is, how he is thinking, all these things. You can do that later on after coming out of Japa. But listen, that is most important. Okay? But if that thought of Krishna comes, that is okay. But you will never understand how the mind will drag you without you.
Somewhere else. Mm-hmm. Okay, Prabhu. Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Sure.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. This is Vrinda here.
Jai, Vrinda Mataji. Hare Bol.
Revolve,
thank
Prabhuji.
You for engaging me in some service. Otherwise, I was lazy. Already I'm lazy.
No
we
problem.
Don't have anything to do.
Thank you so
nice
much.
Nice meeting.
Thank you for time and association. Thank you for a nice class. Yeah, unfortunately, we couldn't have your class in Baltimore, but it's good to listen to you like this.
That's how I am dealing with all over the world now.
Yes.
Otherwise, I was only in Baltimore, but now I go all over the world.
Yeah. Thank you, Prabhuji.
Corona has brought devotees more closer.
Yes.
So I give classes to India, London, everywhere, and now I'm talking to Baltimore and all these wonderful devotees there. So thank you all of you. I think it's time now. Hopefully we'll meet sometime again. Thank you very much and giving me opportunity, especially Vivek Prabhu. Hare Krishna.
Thank you. Thank you, Prabhuji. Hare Bol. Hare Bol.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Thank you.